wants to use the and play the race card by having mostly black. Look at who he's arresting. It's not just, you know, whites, because more whites have been affected by these felony disenfranchisement laws than blacks, but he's mainly arresting black people, that he's playing the race card because he wants to be president. It doesn't that say something ill about the concept of our democracy, the concept of who we are, that we want a person who is using race? Because it worked before, right, with Trump. So they're saying, okay, we'll do it again.
We have to leave it there, but I want to thank you so much for being with us. Barbara Arnwine, civil rights lawyer with Transformative Justice Coalition, and Kimberly Crenshaw, executive director of the African American Policy Forum and professor of law at UCLA and Columbia University, speaking to us from Jekyll Island, Georgia. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much.
This is KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The Development and Events Committee meets on the fourth Monday of the month at 4:30 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
Listening to KBOO Portland. This is The Gap. My name is Tammy, and with me is Althea. How are you, Althea?
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. It's nice to see you.
It's good to see you. I mean, you and I are kind of heated about what we're talking about today, but this is the beginning of the show. We're supposed to talk about the drive-in. We're supposed to talk about the beautiful sunrise. We're supposed to talk about how it's supposed to rain later today.
I got worked up beforehand.
Yeah. I brought a rain jacket sort of as a hope. There's a hope that it would rain later.
It was drizzling a little when I was.
Oh, really? I didn't get rain in my part of town yet.
A little bit, little drizzles.
I'm done with the smoke. Hey,
oh,
people,
yeah.
If I can be so bold. Also, so visibility is so bad. I'm driving on the highway, and I swear my eyes are playing tricks on me because right before me, it's like getting more obscured. I'm like, what's happening to me? And then it was actually a truck that was like belching black smoke out onto the highway. It's like, oh, okay, cool. I'm not losing anything.
The last few was like, is it foggy? Is it smoky?
It's been a little bit
smoky.
Of both.
Yeah, it was quite smoky. But here we are.
Here we are.
Hope folks are drinking water and staying inside, you know, if they can. Yeah, the smoke is no joke. Excuse me if my throat gets a little dry.
Yeah.
But yes, this is The Gap.
Talk radio. On
every
KBOO.
Friday morning, 8 a.m. We usually have the program go in two parts. Part one, where we do either an interview or a news roundup, and then part two, where we open up the phone lines to you, the listener, with our community question.
And why don't we just jump right in? I feel like we need to maximize our time because we have a lot to talk about. So, folks, we're in a midterm election season. And I know, yada, yada, midterm, who cares? The big election was 2 years ago. Guys, this is a big election.
This matters.
This matters a lot.
Especially with all the stuff that's on the ballot right now, all the measures. This is really big things, and I'm sorry, I'm going to say it. I don't think people are as excited as they should be.
I don't think so either.
I will never tell you how you should feel, but I will judge you.
Whoa. Mm. I kind of like that dichotomy.
Got opinions and I'll keep them to myself.
Yeah, we've seen endorsements come out from different newspapers recently. And one of the things, we want to start with the Willamette Week endorsements, don't we?
Yeah. What is going on there? Listen, whatever is going on there, they need to get their stuff together.
They need to reel it in.
I showed my dog this, and she said, I can't with all the dog whistles. I can't hear you. So many dog whistles. I couldn't believe it. First of all, since when did the Willamette Week start hating blacks and immigrants?
Oh, yeah.
I'm just wondering.
And there's a lot of misleading things printed in their endorsements as well, which we are going to get into.
It's very bizarre. The reason why I'm able to say that I disagree with what they're endorsing is because of the news that they cover themselves. So are they not reading their own newspaper?
And this is a thing to get a little bit inside baseball, if you'll permit me for a second.
Ooh.
When we're talking about newspapers and media organizations, that the reporters are not generally the ones making these endorsement calls. I mean, it depends on the publication, depends on the size of it, but this kind of thing is usually written by an editorial board, maybe assigned to somebody to write based on the position that the editorial board would like to take. But again, we're not talking about, reporters on the ground making their opinion known. It's more so the owners of the paper wanting to have editorial discretion over this. But that at the same time, as a reporter, this is, when we're talking about people's trust in their news and what media sources that they trust, and are they willing to talk to a reporter from a certain outlet, that editorial and opinion content has a big impact on that, regardless of whether or not that individual is actually responsible or whether or not that individual is going to be able to tell your story in a good way.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason that a lot of communities don't trust. News outlets, and this is exactly the stuff that I'm talking about right here. You said the owners did it. It definitely does, with the way that they're writing, it does sound like someone is owning this, pulling the strings, and spewing out a bunch of really just dog whistles. I'm just furious at this.
Okay, so we want to get into it. There's a few endorsements or anti-endorsements.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Opposition, I suppose, is the word I'm looking for that we want to discuss. The first of which is in the race between City Commissioner Joanne Hardesty for City Council Position 3 and the challenger Renee Gonzalez. So Willamette Week has endorsed Renee Gonzalez. It's an interesting read. Do we want to do there was a TikTok analysis that I found to be kind of enlightening about this. This is TikTok user Angel_as_in_wheel_of_fire. So let's hear about 2.5 minutes. Let's hear what they have to say.
In an article absolutely rife with misogynoir, the Willamette Week endorses right-wing city council candidate Renee Gonzalez over the first black city council woman, Commissioner Joanne Hardesty. Willamette Week concedes that Commissioner Hardesty is one of the most accomplished city council members ever to be on city council, but they say that they can't endorse her because she's too alienating and loud. If you're a woman in a professional space, I know that you felt that. This woman brought Portland Street Response to life, the first update to our public emergency system in 150 years. This program is going to ensure that people experiencing homelessness or a mental health crisis are not unalived by police when a person not qualified to respond shows up at the scene. This woman saved countless small businesses during the pandemic by using her powers with the Portland Bureau of Transportation to close streets so that restaurants could expand outdoors and people could continue eating outside. She helped to pass legislation at Portland City Council to ban facial recognition technology, a policy which is now being copied nationwide. Meanwhile, her opponent's only claim to fame is that he ran a school soccer club and created a super PAC to endorse right-wing candidates to PPS school board, candidates who are anti-choice and anti-LGBT. I truly can't imagine being a Black woman in Portland politics, because this woman gets blamed for everything that goes wrong and never praised for anything that goes right. She doesn't oversee the Police Bureau or the Joint Office of Homeless Services or BOEC, the 911 Bureau that everyone's complaining about. Those are all overseen by Mayor Wheeler, Commissioner Dan Ryan, and Commissioner Mapps. Yet you constantly see her being scapegoated for things that she cannot control. Willamette Week states that Gonzalez's plan is appealing because it's simple, and it's true. His plan is bring downtown back, make parks enjoyable again, get people off the streets, and staunch gun violence. Nowhere in that does it say how he's going to do that. He is so unqualified that it's actually unbelievable that we're even discussing these two candidates like they're in the same league. This woman is a Navy veteran, she worked at the state legislature, she's worked at the county, she has connections in all of those areas, which will be absolutely crucial to addressing homelessness in our city and our state. And yet this man who ran a soccer league and wears sweater vests is being treated like he's a serious candidate. It honestly just goes to show that if you're a Black woman or a woman of color in general, you have to fight twice as hard to get half as much.
There it is.
That was TikTok user Angel, as in Wheel of Fire. We'll link their TikTok on our webpage as well. Thank you to them for that succinct analysis.
This is the
ouch.
I'm reading the article, and it's very interesting how the TikTok user was not paraphrasing anything. They're taking things straight. I am blown away. The pack. That's a pretty. It's Rene Gonzalez is very open about, you know, when he said we want to make Portland great again. Very specific about for whom, you know.
Can I read that paragraph?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so talking about his goals, his simplistic platform, as Willamette Week itself describes it, we agree with those goals, but we understand they'll be difficult to achieve. He stumbled in his campaign, allegedly improperly accepting deeply discounted campaign office space from Jordan Schnitzer. Gonzalez also admitted no second thoughts about his PAC's endorsement of Portland school board candidates who opposed LGBTQ rights. What mattered to him was getting schools open. That's careless. Careless is an interesting way of putting it. And I wonder if Rene Gonzalez, you know, presented differently, if it would be described as careless, an endorsement of anti-gay school board candidates.
And yet in this, sorry, you were you gonna keep going?
No,
with that?
go ahead.
And then in the same light, they're saying, and this is a quote from the same, just it's a paragraph over, I can't believe this. When voters elected, we endorsed Hardesty then, but have come to see mismatch between her strengths and the requirement to be a leader for all Portlanders. And yet Rene Gonzalez is supporting, endorsing a PAC that is openly opposing LGBTQ rights. So
I don't, like, saying that it's careless is wild. Also, allegedly improperly, it's not alleged. He did. He got the largest fine in city history. And I want to be clear about what that means, because I think that we forget. Why bother to fine this guy? Who cares? He decided to participate in the small donor election program, which means that his campaign is taxpayer funded. Your money is going into his pocket to run a campaign. It equates to him stealing taxpayer money, yeah, because he's taking donations, mm-hmm, from real estate billionaires in the city, essentially. So he's improperly using taxpayer money is a big deal. And he's already showing a willingness to steal from Portlanders. He's already showing a willingness to not play by the rules that voters passed on the ballot to say, this is fair. We want to take big money out of our elections. And what is he? And that's like, oops, he had a little stumble. He owes the city. He actually owes taxpayers $100,000.
How do
whoopsies?
You whoopsies stumble onto $100,000?
And you know what they say about Hardesty? They're like, she's just mean and she doesn't like cops. And can I read this paragraph? Hardesty was rightly critical of the Portland Police Bureau and briefly won cuts to its budget, but her criticism has become a personal feud. The police union deserves its share of the blame. We won't soon forget its efforts to smear Hardesty with a false report that she was at the wheel of a hit-and-run car crash, but Hardesty contributed. They tried to pin a felony on her, okay?
Like, and this is
and they're like, and she doesn't like the police, and she's coming up with all of these different ways about public safety that has nothing to do with the cops. First of all, the cops aren't in her purview. She's asked for the cops to be in her purview. She asked for 911 to be in her purview, and Wheeler said no. But all of this stuff gets pinned on her.
And homelessness and the housing crisis and all of that, when it's very clearly Dan Ryan's been chuk chuk chuk. That's cricket sound.
I thought that was just like the beeping of a heart monitor. Like, oh, no. He's alive. We know he's alive.
I haven't heard of peeps from him in a while. Yeah. Crickets. Nothing. Crickets. Can't hear anything. It's Oh, yes, and he stumbled in his campaign, allegedly improperly accepting deeply discounted campaign office space. How allegedly? Well, Emmett Wick, you're the one who broke this story. You're the one who told me about this story. How allegedly? How?
And there's another thing that they level against Hardesty. They say Hardesty would rather repurpose downtown than bring city office employees back.
What?
To talk about employees of the city specifically, they don't want to come back.
No,
there was a whole situation with their union. There was this poll that came out. Nobody wants to work from the dang office anymore.
This is I could tell you without having to do any type of research or surveys. No one wants to.
And they're
to
like,
work
yeah,
what?
She doesn't.
Anymore.
She doesn't want everybody to come back.
Well, and how can you even come back?
Do they want to? Like, it's her fault that
not all of us getting a 96% rent reduction for our office space.
Hello. Oh my. Yes. That's the connection. And just that they're like, Gonzalez is unpolished and his platform is simplistic. What if I told you that
like
complicated problems require complex solutions?
Well, that's in this voter guide, the voters pamphlet. Mm. Everything that's around kind of restructuring or doing things differently, they're just like, this is just, I don't know, things are not working. So do you think this is a time to try something new? That seems a little silly. It's like, y'all really think...
Guys,
what?
Things are bad. We can't do things the way that we've done them. But no, change? Change?
And
don't
why
think
it's,
so.
It's, yeah, it just, it really pains. And it's just, why is Dan Ryan getting off so easy?
Yeah, no,
like,
it's...
Nothing. No, it's just so much of this, like,
I mean, we already have, let's be frank, a conservative majority on the city council. Joanne Hardesty is like the... Like, what concrete policy credits can you attribute to other city councilors? You can attribute the old town sweeps to Dan Ryan and sure. Ted Wheeler, I guess, if you're into that kind of thing. But like concretely making things, like improving things, none of that. She brought street response from nothing. They gave her, like, Dan Ryan, or sorry, like, she was not given support.
Sure.
She was put through the ringer. They wouldn't give her funding until the study came out. Like, all of these things that, like, this is what's, we know what works, so let's stop pretending that we don't.
It's not. Another thing that I keep seeing in the voters pamphlet is like folks saying this is just such a this is just such like right wing dog whistles.
Yeah,
it's like we're just too divisive right now. We need to go back to when only white dudes ruled everything so we can all just simmer down, because the gays and the blacks are getting wild right now.
The other
and
thing-
it's really it's so. Obvious. And then even going down to like, don't even, you know, it's like, if you don't want to read what they have to say, I get it. Just page through the endorsements.
Yeah.
You know, like, geez, this is so, it's like, you know, they say the pendulum swinging, and it's just very obvious that people are very displeased about what's happening, because yes, the city has been through a lot.
Yeah.
And it just, why are you blaming the only people that have been doing things to actually move things along?
Totally.
And they're getting the most pushback. And like this woman is too mean to cops. The same like body that tried, like you said, to pin a hit and run on her. Like what?
No,
are you okay, Willamette Week? What's going on? We got to send someone out. Send them some cookies or something. Obviously, their blood pressure is low.
Let's recognize the pattern of what is leveled at female city councilors, because and you know, especially and amplified for Joanne Hardesty, because she's a black female city councilor as well. But the same thing we saw in Chloe Udaley's campaign. She's too mean. She's just not nice. She's not nice to be around.
Okay.
Think about the respectability politics that you want from your female city councilors. If they were like, I'm sorry to take it back to like the first thing you ever think about feminism, but like if they were men, would they be would they be held to that standard?
No,
would a toughness, would getting things done and not really caring, not really like bending over backwards about who gets in their way when they're like the work that they're doing is important.
And we see in how men in city council are divvying up inhumane sweeps all the time.
Yeah.
So,
but Chloe Udaly gets voted out because she's too mean. She just does like. And that, what is it that you want from a city councilor? You want, if it's a woman, you want her to like hold your hand and bring you a cup of tea and like, oh, like
little baby,
coddle you?
Okay.
Like, she's not your mom. She's not the city's mom. She's a city councilor, okay? Like, this isn't a referendum on what kind of woman you want to be around. It's who can get things done that's going to fix things.
It's so, and you know, I got to tell you, being in like predominantly white spaces, male dominated spaces, I'm sorry, being in those spaces makes you mean. And I'll say it. I'll own it.
You got to be tough.
You can't deal. You know what kind of nonsense.
Here's the thing. Is it a man's world and you have to like, and you have to act like a man to get anything done? Is that the case? Or like, do we care?
You it's know, not even mean. It's boundaries.
It's, you know, it's fully
like
boundaries.
It's just, it's not even, you say like coming in with the same, it's not even the same energy. It's just like, yo, stop talking. You're about to go down a rabbit hole that I'm not going down there with you.
Yeah.
And that's it. By God forbid you say that to someone. Oh, you're infringing. You're being divisive. How are you being divisive?
She's not making compromise. Some things you can't compromise on.
This,
and when we're talking about
all the notion of the city has lost its way. What? What? This isn't a
and
teenager.
And it's Joanne Hardesty's fault?
This isn't a teen, an unruly teenager that's lost its way. It's like, this is.
No, it's built this way.
Wake that up. It's working exactly how it's been designed to work, and when people want to change it, everyone we're too feeble-minded to be able to change it. We just don't understand. Change is too scary and big.
When we're getting into this, and we've talked about this many times on the show before, this kind of thing of like, yeah, but would you want to get a beer with your candidate? You know, and like I understand the appeal of like wanting to feel like somebody is personable or is somebody that you could go to with a problem, because that's what legislators are supposed to do. But when we're thinking about what makes you comfortable around somebody, that's where implicit bias comes in, you know. And I think if that's like your main criteria of how you want to vote for somebody, I think that's something that you should be critical of. Think for yourself. Is it just because why do I feel extra critical of Joanne Hardesty? There's certainly misogynoir at play, and there's certainly the aspect that, you know, she's not being controlled by the Portland Business Alliance or the Portland Police Association. Like, there are power players that she's not, she of money and of, you know,
strong influence, which Renee's definitely
of money and violence that do not support her. I wonder why. And
Renee's deep in their pockets. I said it. I don't care. And you know how I know? Because the Willamette Week taught me, and now they're forgetting everything.
Yeah.
Oh boy. It's absolutely just like, it's right. Disgraceful. And and we didn't even get to some of the other stuff.
Yeah. No, let's do those quickly. Sorry, we did 20 minutes on this ridiculous Gonzalez endorsement. There's misleading things printed throughout this. They say no on the Portland Charter Change Amendment. I'll read you that's measure 26228 here in Portland. I'll read you a quote. No one can predict how multi-member districts paired with ranked choice voting would turn out. Under the measure, candidates would need only 25% of the vote to get elected and could reach that threshold even if they receive fewer than the one quarter of first choice votes because of how votes are distributed in the counting process. This idea that no one can predict it, that's false. We can predict it. There were people given like authority by the city for 2 years to study this. And this is what they came up with. I don't understand how it's impossible to predict. It's like as close as we can get to proportional representation. And they don't disclose here why that is part of it. And the reason is so that underrepresented and marginalized communities that are localized in a particular area can coordinate and work together to have somebody on city council to represent their interests. They say that having 3 members per district displaces like accountability. We have no accountability right now.
You see, that's what I'm saying. Everyone is so in the same light. They're saying Portland has gone to heck, and then at the same light, they're saying no, but we cannot change God forbid we change anything about the way that, that everything runs here, because that would be, what would happen then? There's too many uncertainties. The only thing we know is that we're suffering right now.
And they're so mad confused. That the mayor doesn't have more power. They're like the mayor has what is the mayor gonna do? The mayor, like, we
girl,
don't.
Girl, it's like the mayor wrote this himself.
we don't need. Why would we need a mayor? Like the mayor. I'm sorry. I'm not even putting together a complete sentence about how annoyed I am about this.
No, it's quite. Well, quite
it's not one of the principal. They say one of the principal criticisms of Portland City current government is that no one is clearly in charge, and this proposal would offer no greater clarity. I don't know that is the main thing.
I don't. Yeah.
The idea of being able to hold somebody accountable, that is certainly a problem that would be addressed by the multi-member district issue. It also is, it's the case that Portland government doesn't work. It's not about who is or isn't in charge.
Right.
It's that the way that it is structured is so that nothing can get done. And there is no way to move things forward. I think it's like an intentional misreading of it.
Yes. And again, in the voters pamphlet, I do recommend folks read it. Because you have the
from the one you get from the county.
Yes, yeah. You get arguments for and against, and it's just interesting how the ones that are against, it's like, I totally think we should do this, but
not like this.
Yeah, and it's like this.
Yeah,
it's and like it's not a bait and switch. There's like a word, I forgot what the phrase is, but it's.
It's not, and they're saying that it's totally untested. Like, this was a community-driven process for 2 years that researched around the country, talked to experts, what is going to work to make our city work? What can we do to reform this? And they're discounting it out of hand. It makes me so annoyed. I do want to say, let me do my little appreciation for our Oregon election infrastructure bit really quick. Because I saw somebody on TikTok who was from Georgia and moved to Oregon recently voting in this election and was just sort of like amazed at the voters pamphlet that we get. And I was telling Tammy about how I opted into the thing where the county will like text me. It's like, hey, your ballot's coming. You know, like look out in your mailbox or whatever. And, you know, that giving people information about what's on the ballot, who's for and who's against it. I know folks have complaints about how much it costs to get in the voter's pamphlet and that kind of whole process. But that's some other states don't even have a voter's pamphlet.
Sure.
Other states don't even necessarily have like functioning websites where you can look up the text of the measure, you know, like there's or know when their ballot is coming or have recourse if their ballot doesn't come. Like, I don't know. I grew up in the Pacific Northwest. Before I voted here, I voted in Washington. They have a similar situation, but it's, you know, obviously our election infrastructure can always be better, but
you know,
I'm glad that we actually give out information. I think that's pretty chill.
There was probably at some point before this was, you know, made into the thing that we do now, there's probably someone who's like, voters pamphlets? No, the feeble-minded Portlanders can't handle this.
Yeah.
This is too much information.
Fully.
And
yeah, and that's their argument against all of these measures.
It's always going to be... It's
too complicated.
Before we move on, the one last thing I wanted to talk about is in the measure 26-231.
Yeah.
Another
also misleading what they've printed about this.
I would say it is teetering on the disinformation, actually. And this is the one where I was like, I was reading this to the dog, and she's like, oh, I can't hear anything. Yeah. There's so many dog whistles. It is extending.
I mean, even as they describe it,
yeah,
it's incorrect.
Not,
they
it's
say
not.
That it's the measure that extends voting rights to undocumented residents.
Which is...
First of all, that's not what it does.
No, that's not... What's... Willamette Week? This is not what you said last week. What's going on?
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Because I want to actually find it in the voter's pamphlet.
Yeah,
so
find it in the voter's pamphlet. What this measure would do is it instructs the county, basically, to investigate the issue of non-citizen voting. And I want to be very clear that non-citizen voting and undocumented voting are two different things. Two very different things. And their argument against it is very much focused on undocumented residents and worried about election integrity and people freaking out about it.
Which is dog woof woof.
Dog whistle,
woof,
yes.
Woof.
It doesn't immediately create that. I want to state that very clearly. It investigates whether the county could create that. And if they find that they can't, it instructs the county to, you know, go to higher levels of government and lobby for the idea that non-citizen residents should be able to vote. But there's a couple of quotes in here that I want Tammy to be able to talk about, because she brought them to my attention. And so first of all, they're explaining it in an incorrect way.
They're explaining it in a way that, for certain people to hear it in a way that it galvanized them to do violence and to vote against it. Violence against people who they might perceive as either undocumented or just immigrants. So
yeah.
Very dangerous language that they're using. And it's not even the language of the ballot. So I'm very confused as why they're using this language.
Yeah.
And the I can't, I'm it like, it hurts me on a personal level. Like, this infuriates me. Where is this?
The quote.
Yeah, about, oh, right, here it is. And their quote,
Such new voters
wouldn't be allowed to vote in statewide or federal races. They'd only get to vote for county candidates and measures, which isn't much of a prize. Wow. Really? So you're going to tell me
that voting,
what rights I consider a prize and what rights I won't. Mr. Willamette Weekly himself is sitting here telling me what I should consider.
Willie of Willie Week.
Willie of Willie Week himself, capital W, coming at me telling me what I should consider a prize-winning right and what is and isn't.
Does the right to vote matter or not? Does the right to have influence about the conditions on where you live
locally,
matter or not?
Saying local, if local election doesn't matter, why did y'all make these endorsements then? Why?
Exactly.
It's unbelievable.
That they're concerned about extending voting rights to undocumented residents would also create a public record of undocumented residents.
But undocumented residents have to pay taxes.
Documented or just non-citizen, they still have to pay taxes. That's what you brought that up. It's like, that's
and also you're not there's it's there's still
it doesn't like all it does all this measure does is investigate this.
This is a very paternalistic,
is it important,
white supremacist disgusting
taxation without representation. Hello. Like, look, regardless of whether or not you want to vote for it, do whatever you want, but this endorsement or this opposition piece against it is just not factually the full picture. People should be able to make an informed decision about this. The voter's pamphlet gives you more than Willamette Week's endorsement does. And it's not
even the language. It's not, and this is where language matters and it's not even misinterpreting. This seems like a very malicious thing that they did on purpose. And it goes in with the through line of all their endorsements. And I'm very, very confused. I mean, I'm not confused. This is very clear. I just don't understand if whoever put this together, edited this together, is reading their own newspaper, because it seems like they are not. And that's very silly, because you're making a fool out of yourselves out there. And also endangering people. Really, really
so,
not cool.
So to put a button on it for folks, we were disappointed with what the Willamette Week printed as its endorsements. And I want to be clear, it's not just that they disagree with us.
I love people disagreeing with us. That's how you learn new things.
Disagree with us, but at least put together an argument based on fact. At least try to weigh out your options and present information. You know, I feel like there's a duty of care when you're printing this kind of stuff that is, you know, this is Willamette Week, or sorry, the Mercury is not in print, it's only online now, so people pick this up. Mm-hmm. You know, it is a big deal, and I think I wish more care was put into it.
Yes.
I wish that it matched the ethos that we see that, you know, the Willamette Week embodies in other parts of their reporting.
Yeah, and it's, again, a lot of this, the way I'm informed, is from local journalists, and it's really shocking that this would come from, again, not the journalists themselves, but from whichever editorial team.
And it is not clear, is it?
It's not
clear.
That's
another
know.
Thing. That's an issue of transparency.
Smells a little snittery to me.
Of who writes it and whose opinion is this? Because, I mean, owners of the paper get to say this is the opinion of the paper, and that's very clear. But, you know, we got reporting that we respect over at the Willamette Week, and it doesn't feel like this is them.
No, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Who is this? What's going on? Are you okay? Someone's got him hostage. What's going on? This is. It's very odd. And also, just specifically about the language, like for example, with the last piece that we talked about, undocumented and non-citizens, are two completely different things.
Very different.
And are not interchangeable.
And if you want to bring up like concerns about the impact that it would have on undocumented residents, like then bring that up, but in the context of what the ballot would actually do.
Right.
Because you make it sound like this like incredibly fringe thing, like what are liberals trying to do now? They'll bust anybody in. You don't even have to live there to vote in their elections.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what it's given, right?
That is what it's giving. Yeah. And that's not what's happening.
Yeah.
And vote for it, vote against it. But at least have your opinion based on the facts.
Yes.
That's my thing.
Oh man. Well, we're going to go on a quick musical break, try to calm down a little bit.
Try to calm down.
And yes, and again, voting is November 8th.
Voting is November 8th. Ballots should be coming into folks' mailboxes very, very soon.
As you can see, a lot of important stuff on there.
A lot of very important stuff.
That impacts a lot of people in our communities and you, most likely. Yes, we'll be back in a couple of moments. Stay tuned. Listening to KBOO Portland. That was Nightmare on Wax with Shape the Future. Love that. It's a great album. Here we are sliding into part two of the program
with a clean slate, with a new idea, with a new thing we want to talk about here on The Gap.
I made sure that was like a little bit of calming music in between.
No, I appreciate it.
Yeah, and
reset my energy.
Reset. Yes, part two of the program. Opening up the phone lines to you, the listener, with our community question. Althea, you want to hit it?
This is something, when inspiration sort of strikes you? It happens to me when I'm driving a lot. So this did go in all caps in my Twitter drafts. Acknowledge the win column. That's not a question. But the question is, what are some wins that you've had lately? Let us know. 503-231-8187. It's easy to get too focused on the next, on what's going next. What am I working on? What am I doing? Hustle culture, I hate it. Capitalism, blech.
Girl boss
stuff. But sometimes you get a win. Sometimes you get a win, and we would love to hear about it. Give us a call, 503-231-8187.
Lovely. I'm trying to think. I've had a lot of wins, but Althea, you go on ahead first.
Yeah, because I was driving in my car right when I was coming up with this. This is what I wanted to talk to folks about. Because I was thinking about, things that have happened to me recently. And I was like, I didn't even really get to sit and feel it. It's common that happens to me, where something good happens and I'm like, that's a big feeling. Got to move on and do other stuff. And you got to sit with it, recognize when something pleasant happens, when something good happens.
Yeah, it's not Man, I have a lot to say to that, but oh, the phone lines are gone. I'm going to be right back. Okay, okay, go on ahead. Another win.
Another win is that people call in and tell us about their wins. If you want to call, 503-231-8187. A win can be something very, very simple. Maybe you remember to do a chore that you often forget. Maybe one of your air plants is having a baby. That's what's happening. That's one of my wins.
You love plant stuff.
I do. And the air plants, you know, they're difficult to read how they're doing, but then suddenly they're having a baby and I'm so proud.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
And we have Camilla on the line. Can you hear us?
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good. Better.
That's good.
But can I ask a question about the discussion that you had?
Sure.
So you were referring to the Willamette Week endorsement. What about the other local papers at the Mercury?
The Mercury is pro Measure 26228. I haven't read all of their endorsements, but I'd be glad to look them up for you.
What about for Joanne?
Let me see. It's a good question. You got any wins to share with us while I search this up for you?
Yeah. Two things. One, I had cataract surgery, and it's just really quite remarkable how you can see things that you've been missing, and what I've been missing is all of the dirt and grime all over my house that has gotten neglected when I do the routine cleaning, and I've been getting to it. I've been cleaning up those little corners, like where you've got a little molding, all the dust collects there, and you know you just don't see it. But yeah. I've been after it, and I feel very good about that.
There it is. That's wonderful.
One other thing that I'm feeling like a win about is that I'm sure this is true for a lot of people that. Being in the pandemic lockdown, you couldn't get out to exercise and you stopped going to the gym. And I just went back to the gym and I had my evaluation there, and I'm getting set up with the program. And, you know, I hope this is going to motivate me to get back into doing more regular exercise that I've neglected for the past. When I came into the gym and put in my little digital thing where it registers you, it said I hadn't been there in 951 days. So I'm back.
All right. Love to be back. I did look it up. The Portland Mercury has endorsed City Commissioner Joanne Hardesty. They've endorsed the Portland Charter Change Measure 26228 and the community college bond.
So I think that's something that you can take heart from.
Mm-hmm.
Even though these endorsements really don't make a lot of difference, I think they only make a difference to people who haven't been here for a while and they're just confused and don't know what to do.
Yeah.
That's how it was when I got here. I just don't know the lay of the land, but since I've been here, you know, I don't have to read anything to know about Joanne.
One thing that I'm noticing just looking up the Mercury's endorsements that I think is nice is that it tells you who is working on this election. They call it the election strike force.
Yes.
So there is some transparency about who it is.
I like that.
Which I appreciate. But I'm glad you called, Camille. I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. I'm hoping so, too, because I haven't been sleeping very well.
It's probably the smoke.
Yeah, I'll say the smoke.
Been wild.
Yeah, I finally figured that out. Like, you know, I was feeling warm last night, and then I had opened my window. And I said, oh, no, I got to shut the window.
Well, thank you, Camilla.
Yeah,
really
we appreciate
it.
You.
I love you, girls.
Thank you.
Ladies, women.
We appreciate you.
That's nice. That's good to know that. I'm always happy to hear from Camilo.
Oh yeah.
And I'm glad to know that the surgery went well. We do have another caller on the line. Alice, can you hear us?
Was that I accidentally found your show?
Oh hi.
Because I was late for work, and what I the show that was so interesting to me was when you were talking about what's going to happen to the Portland Library, where they're closing it down.
Yeah, the Midland and, one.
The main one, right?
No, it's the one in Midland, I believe, that they're closing for renovations, but I will double-check that for you.
Okay, well, don't worry about it. What I'm thinking is, I'm listening to this, and there's all these small libraries that really could use the money and the help. Mm-hmm. So am I correct that there's small libraries that we're almost creating education and library deserts right along with food deserts mm-hmm. when we're not putting the money where it's needed instead of putting it for some... It almost sounded to me, and I have the wrong word, but almost like misuse of money or some form of corruption to use the money where it's not needed, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a continuous problem, especially mm-hmm. because, you know, budgeting and stuff takes so long that... You know, by the time that, you know, some improvements are definitely needed, but it's not always like a triage situation by the time the money comes out. You know, we're not necessarily like, hey, who needs this money the most? It's like, well, this library needs the automatic, they don't have the automatic scanners that everybody else has. We gotta do that, you know?
Well, what about the library that they're upgrading? I thought they had just been remodeled and were up to... everybody's needs pretty much.
That was what our caller was talking
about.
That's
what it seemed
like,
yeah.
That time, but yeah. I guess I can't speak to it super confidently. But there is some good reporting out of East PDX News. Major remodel briefly closes Midland Library if you want to read more about it. And we appreciate you calling. Do you have any wins that you'd like to share with us?
Well, what I'm thinking is you young people have so much energy. If that caller was correct in their alarm about the library money, maybe you guys can call Joanne Hardesty and ask what would be the best use, who would we contact or who would they contact to make the change mm-hmm. so that the money goes the right way. Yeah, my win really was that I ran across your show on a very informative day.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, and we appreciate your call. I hope you have a great rest of the day.
Okay, you have a great day too. Bye-bye.
If other folks want to call in, we're talking about wins. What are your wins?
Lots of library lovers up in here.
Lots
I love
of library
it.
Lovers. I love the library.
You keep it. That's keep it. We're watching. We're always watching. and we have another caller on the line. Sue, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Hi, hey, Sue.
Hi. I had a big win last weekend. I work with a group that puts on an event called Oregon Flock and Fiber Festival.
Ooh.
And we were not able to have a festival for 2 years, and we lost our facility and we lost our date, and we had it this weekend. It was had to be down in Albany because we couldn't get a local venue, but it was a major success, and it was just like it was wonderful to see all these people having a good time visiting the animals that we had there and looking at all the demonstrations and taking classes and learning new things and buying beautiful yarn and fiber and visiting with people they hadn't seen in a couple of years. I haven't been to a big event in a long time, and I was very careful, but... I had so much fun, and so did everybody else. It was just a real success. So anyway, that was my win.
That's wonderful.
It's a huge win.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah.
And you're back on for next year, I hope.
Yeah, we hope so. We got some big decisions to make about some stuff, but yeah, we're back, and I think we've got a lot of people that are interested in helping out because it's like, oh, I want to help with this. So
yeah,
that's always good. The more volunteers, the better, because it's a big production to put on. But anyway, it was a good big success, and I feel like that's in my mind, it's somewhat of a personal win because I put a lot of energy into it. So.
Totally. Well, you should bask in your winningness.
Yes, congratulations. You did it.
And spin up all the pretty fiber that I bought.
Ooh, yeah, yeah. The gift that keeps on giving. Well, thank you so much for calling, Sue. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Sue.
Bye.
Have a good one. If other folks want to call, we got about 10 minutes left. 503-231-8187. We're acknowledging the win column today, people. What are some wins that you've had lately? Let us know.
Anything related to yarn, Althea is for it.
Guys, I taught myself to crochet in the pandemic, right?
We have another caller. Paul, can you hear us?
I certainly can.
You're on the air.
I called to say that your show, by every touchstone, is wondrous. Thank you. And it's elucidating and entertaining and invigorating.
Thank you so much.
a caller, I guess about two or three calls ago, talked about how lately he's been sleepless. Well, that's where my wins come from, I guess. Recently I had two nightmares, and they were both about 4 or 5 a.m. I jumped up, scribbled them down. Each nightmare has been now produced as a play in New York at different theaters. So I guess those were my wins.
Whoa. Very cool.
Well, very cool is your show. Thank you so much. I'll let other people talk too, but thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate you listening, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.
There it is. That's what I love to hear.
Started off on the right foot.
And we have, I think on the line is Francis? I'm not sure.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. A personal accomplishment or victory or win or whatever is I just came from swimming this morning, and I have never, ever, ever had a routine of exercise, and now it's been 2 months that I swim every morning, and that's been because of my cardio necessity to do something like that. So, but at least I'm doing it.
That's wonderful. Great.
But I want to, if I can, speak about the Willamette Week endorsements.
Sure, go for it.
I've been fortunate to know Joanne Hardesty for probably 20 years at least. We worked together on police accountability and our gentrified community in Northeast Portland, from which I have also moved. And racial profiling has been an issue for the longest. And Willamette Week, I'm not surprised. I stopped reading them probably in somewhere in the early 2000s when they did a story called Jail Blazers. And it was about one of our very good Blazer teams that had gotten in trouble with, you know, incidents like marijuana and being targeted. They got profiled coming home from Seattle, and there was marijuana in the car, and all these infractions they got. I don't think any of them were felonies, but somehow that made them jailblazers. Mm. And for the Willamette Week to do that, their dog whistle was loud and clear.
Yeah, so they got really caught up in that pun, it sounds like.
Mm. Yeah, and they've been... So I'm not surprised that they're still playing that game. And it's unfortunate and it's sad.
Yeah.
Because we should be so much further than we are. But one day, perhaps.
One day. Well, we appreciate you calling, Francis.
You guys,
and
take care.
I hope you have a great time swimming tomorrow. Keep it up. I love to swim. The smell of chlorine gets me excited. I'll be real.
And we have another caller on the line. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
We can hear you too.
Yeah, well, I just have my 90th birthday, so pardon me if I get mixed up a little bit. But I wanted to say about something very nice that happened to me. I have to go and get shots, you know, for macular degeneration.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been having this horrible depression. And when I got to the doctor, I said, oh, you know, I've been having awful depression. He came over and put his arm on my shoulder and said, that's okay. My wife has a lot of depression too. And he was so nice to me. You know, I could hardly believe it.
Mm.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of...
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I went in a wheelchair to the Orchid Show because my daughter, we couldn't get up the ramp or something. And I can walk, but I just can't walk a long time. And they were so nice to me there. They said, what can we do for you, little darling?
Aww.
It was so nice. So I just think there's a lot of nice people in the world.
That's wonderful.
It's nice to be reminded of that.
It is
Thank
good
you.
To be reminded of that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really nice. And I've known Joanne Hardesty. I worked with her with Pam, Families Against Mandatory Minimums, and she is a firecracker. I love her. She should be governor.
Ooh. There it
That's
is.
That's what I think.
Well, thank you so much, yeah. And happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday. Happy belated.
Thank you. Yes. Bye, you guys.
Bye. See ya.
Got birthdays. We got all sorts of orchids.
Yeah.
And we also have another caller on the line. Let's see. Tawasi, can you hear us?
I can hear you just fine.
Hello,
you
know,
first off, girls do rule the world. And I'm so happy every time that I get to hear the two of you ruling. So thank you. And I want to encourage everyone listening right now, please donate to KBOO. Please send them your money because we need them in our community. They provide a service that these other media outlets just don't. And we're really, really fortunate.
Thank you, Tawasi.
I mean, obviously the guy who said that your show is my win, yes, he is 100% right. But my personal win, I do delivery work, and it's pretty unfulfilling a lot of times, you know, especially since the pandemic, because you just drop the food off on the porch and you never even see the person.
Mm-hmm.
But the other day I dropped off the food and my phone dinged. The person adjusted their tip up. Mm-hmm. They gave me an extra $4 after I delivered their meal because it, for whatever reason, they liked it. And you know, it's just a little thing, and it's not even enough for a latte. $4 is like whatever, a
three quarters
Americano
of a latte
or
now.
Something.
Yeah.
But anyway, the wins, those little things that people can do for their service workers, they make up big wins for us. Another one, a couple weeks ago, I was doing a delivery and somebody had set out a bunch of little waters, granola bars, Cheez-Its, raisins, all these things. And they had a sign that said, "Thank you, delivery driver. Please take a snack. I am so thankful for what you're doing for me." And that's a small win, but it made my day. Here I am 2 weeks later, and I'm still stoked that somebody took the time to care for a little old, unimportant delivery driver, me. So that's a big win for me.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you.
We appreciate you calling. I hope you have a good day.
Mm.
Yeah, there's kindnesses that we can give to each other. And, you know, as much as we're like, hey, remember the wins, remember the good things that happened to you, because it's important to kind of, I think it's important to sit with it.
Yes.
But it's also something that you can look back on and hold on to, for sure.
And we have time for one more caller. And you got to make it a bit snappy, if that's okay, Jeff, but you are on the line.
Hi, I'll take my answer off the air. What is the rule about all the homeless people being able to vote? Can they vote or not vote in an election? I'll check it off the air.
That's a great question.
Thank you.
Voting is tied to an address, so that is certainly an issue for houseless folks about whether or not they maintain an address to vote at.
There is sometimes businesses that will let people use their addresses, but again, it's that thing of like election fraud and stuff that also is where it starts teetering on that. And yeah, that's a really important question. Thank
right.
you. Appreciate that, Jeff.
And also, just if I could say one thing about
Please.
Voting, who votes is who candidates have to campaign to.
Remember that.
Who votes is who candidates have to campaign to. So that's very important. Gotta be, if you're somebody that votes, candidates should be talking to you.
I'm just saying, once immigrants can vote, because that's going to happen. It's not that it's not going to happen. It's going to happen eventually.
Mm.
The Willamette better better watch out.
Hello.
Better watch out. Chicken's coming home to roost.
Well, this has been a lovely conversation, a great show. I so appreciate everybody listening. This is The Gap Radio on KBOO. We're here every Friday. We'll be back next week. Don't miss us too much. If you do, you can always check out our back episodes, kboo.fm/thegap. You can see all of our episodes on there. You can find us on Instagram at The Gap Radio. You can send us an email, thegapradio@gmail.com, if you want to. And you can also mail us things, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Not saying you have to do any of these things, but if you want to have an offer,
you can.
Communication with us, that is the best way to do
it. And if you want it to be read out loud, you can too.
We haven't had a mailbag in a while.
Shout out the community or something.
We're available for it.
Yeah. Well, we're going to wrap up. Veterans Voice is coming up next. Thank you all so much. We'll be back next week. Voting day is November 8th. And we'll see you soon. Talk to you next week.
See you soon.
Bye.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
Can't get enough of The Ghost of Hollywood? Check out our entire first season, now streaming wherever you choose to listen to your podcast. And don't forget to like and subscribe.
While you're at it, check out our website at theghostofhollywood.com so that we can keep you up to date on all the latest with The Ghost of Hollywood.